This morning we're going to spend time together remembering the true story of Christmas. Douglas Wright, in 1915, wrote a poem dealing with what the Christmas story meant to him. He wrote, "Veiled in darkness due to lay, waiting for the promised day, while across the shadowy night streamed a flood of glorious light, heavenly voices chanting then, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Still the earth in darkness lies, up from death's dark veil arise, voices of a world in grief, prayers of men who seek relief. Now our darkness pierce again, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Light of light, we humbly pray, shine upon thy world today. Break the gloom of our dark night, fill our souls with love and light, send thy blessed word again, peace on earth, goodwill to men." As you can see from your message guide, which is on the back of our psalm sheet, we're going to remember the complete Christmas story, and we're going to read it in sort of a chronological, harmonized way. And you can follow along if you like in your Bibles. The texts that we will go to are right there. But we will read through this because a lot of times we focus on the Luke 2 story and we forget that there's other parts of the story. And so I want to focus our attention on that here this morning. So most of our time will just be listening to God speak to us through His Word. We begin with the promise of Christ in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. "The people that walked in darkness," the darkness that Douglas Wright explained and described for us in his poem, "the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." That's the Christmas story. "They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And when did this light shine? Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And so as we go to the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, you'll probably have to just kind of keep your Bibles open to those two passages, Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 2, and flip through there. We start with the preparation for Christ, with the coming of John the Baptist, beginning in Luke 1, verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, 'Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' And Zacharias said to the angel, 'Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years.' And the angel answering said to him, 'I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. John 1:6 describes it this way. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Back in Luke 1, we find the Annunciation of Christ to both Mary and to Joseph. Luke 1:26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come on you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In Matthew 1, we see what takes place in Joseph's life. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, Matthew writes, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took to him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Heading back to Luke 1:26, we find Mary, who arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And what is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For see, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from now on all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. John Piper wrote a poem that reflected on the humility of Christ there in that manger. The title is How Low He Lay. In this smelly place he lay, smelly like the swine, smelly like the rotting hay, like your sin and mine. Do you see how low he lay? Do you see how low? There is lower yet to go. Lower yet to go. He is lying where they eat, lying where the swine, lying like a piece of meat where the hungry dine. Do you see the flow complete? Do you see the flow? There is greater love to show, greater love to show. Such a happy toddler there, happy like the birds, happy like the morning air, filled with happy words. Does he see or know or care? Does he see or know? Oh, how deep will be his woe. Deep will be his woe. Knowing God was born like this, knowing this is he, knowing somehow this is bliss, for the swine, and for me. Is this love's full glow and a kiss? Is this love's full glow? There are deeper things to know. Deeper things to know. Mary, musing every year, musing on her son, musing with a rising fear. Who will be the one? Who will strike the blow and spear? Who will strike the blow? Does she know that blood must flow? Know that blood must flow? Jesus hanging on the tree, hanging like the meat, hanging there for swine like me, gives his flesh to eat. Here is life brought low and free. Here is life brought low. Oh, how vast the debt I owe. How vast the debt I owe. Luke 2:8. The story continues. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Heading back to Matthew 2, we find the worship of Christ by the wise men. Matthew 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not depart to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' He arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelled in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" Final two verses from Luke 2:39. "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the Christmas story, the true Christmas story. But as we just read, in the time that we have left, I want to turn our Bibles to one of those prophecies about the coming of Christ, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Because as we just read, the coming of Christ did not take everyone by surprise, did it? Like Simeon, like Anna, there were some who remembered that so much of what took place when Jesus was born had actually been prophesied and predicted hundreds and even thousands of years before. Remember in Luke 2:38, Simeon and Anna were looking for the redemption in Jerusalem? Well, they based their hope on the Scripture. They based their hope on the Word of God. And they based their hope on scriptures like Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Again, written hundreds of years before Christ ever came into this world. I'd like to briefly focus on just that verse and think about what made the birth of Christ so significant and so special even for us today. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born. We've read this. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is the timeless purpose for Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, in the course of human history, having a son given and a child born is really not that extraordinary. In fact, we've heard of some sons being born into this world already, here in the last couple of weeks. The Heckdals have a new grandson. We praise God for that. But what is so unique about a child being born, according to this verse? What is so unique about a son being given? What is so special about this son and this child? Well, the answer to these questions is given in this verse. It is the character of this child, because no other child, no other son that is born into this world can demonstrate this kind of character that Isaiah prophesies will be in that child that we read about already in his birth. It's the character of this child that makes him and his birth so unique and so special. This is his character. Isaiah 9:6, he is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. And He is the Prince of Peace. So in the time that we have left, I would like for us to see what makes this child, the Christ child, so special and so important to us today. First of all, as the Wonderful Counselor that He's described to be here in this passage, this child and this son is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God come down from heaven in order to offer hope for mankind, hope for you, and hope for me. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor and the wisdom of God. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. This is why when you go out and share the gospel, not everybody wants to hear about it. Not everybody wants to hear about Christ, because to the Jews it's a stumbling block, to the Greeks it's foolishness. But Paul says, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You want to see the wisdom of God? Look at Christ. You want to see the wisdom of God? Look at the birth of Christ, as we just read from those passages. If you need counsel, if you need wisdom, then listen to the timeless message of Jesus Christ. For in His great and divine wisdom, He knew what you and I needed most. And that is salvation from our sin, and that's why He came. He's the Wonderful Counselor. We also see that He's the Mighty God. As the Mighty God, this child and this son, Christ's child, is the power of God. He's the power of God come down from heaven in order to do what no other man, no other being could do, and that is to rescue us and to redeem us from the bondage and darkness that we were in. You see, Jesus is the Mighty God. Jesus is the power of God. For Jesus is God. He is divine. He is God the Son, as Audrey Meyer once wrote. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. In this description of Jesus, we have His identity clearly revealed to us. And because Jesus is the mighty God, we ought to bring our lives and our hearts to Him in humility and submissive worship. He is also, though, third, the everlasting Father. This child and this Son is the everlasting Father. He's eternal. He's always been. He always will be because He is God. That's part of His nature. But though Christ, though Jesus is not the same person as God the Father, yet He shares the same character as a Father. And that's why He is described here as the everlasting Father. He's not the same as God the Father, but He shares the same character to those who belong to Him. So Jesus here is the Father of eternity described in Isaiah 9:6. For it is Jesus who is able to save us to the uttermost who come unto God by Him. I love what Alexander McLaren once said. He says, dying men need and have an undying Christ. He is the everlasting Father. And because He's the everlasting Father, He has the great love and care as a Father. He loves you if you're His child. Psalm 103:13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. He cares for you. He also has the great love and compassion as a father. Remember in Matthew 9, and over again it says how Jesus had compassion, care and compassion on people. Matthew 9:36, but when He, Jesus, this child, this Son, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see, Jesus came so that you and I could become children of God through faith in Him. He is the everlasting Father. But then also, He is the Prince of Peace. And as the Prince of Peace, this child and this Son, this Christ child, can provide the most important peace that you and I need in this world. And that is peace with God. Jesus alone is the Prince of Peace. Romans 5:1, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that you need is the peace that only Jesus Christ can provide because He alone is the Prince of Peace. So, knowing, trusting in, and then living for that very special child and that very unique Son, the Son of God, is the most important decision that you can ever make in this life. Do you know Him that way today? The baby that we read about in the manger, this is who He is. This is who He is. In Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That's why we need to believe and tell others that this is what Christmas is all about. This is who Christmas is all about. It's about this child that was born, about this Son that was given, this name who is called, again, Isaiah 9:6, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's what makes this birth so special and so significant. So as we close, won't you say today and pray in your heart today what we're about to sing? O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for Thee. I know that we can get very busy around Christmas time. Or maybe sometimes different memories flood our mind. Maybe of Christmases gone past. Let us remember who this baby is. Who the Christ child really is. And ask Him and say to Him, there is still room in my heart for Thee. Let's close. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this powerful message that comes from Your Word. Because, Lord, we know that Your Word is truth. And so everything that we just read is history. It is true history. It is what actually took place in the life of these individuals that we were introduced to. Zacharias really did see an angel in the temple. His wife really was barren and gave birth to a baby named John in her old age. A virgin really did conceive in her womb when the Holy Spirit came upon her so that she could bring forth this Christ child, the promised one, the one who is described for us there in Isaiah and in other places as truly the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. They really did go to Bethlehem. There really were angels that sang to the shepherds. There really were wise men from the east that came to visit there in Bethlehem and brought those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. There really were children under the age of 2 that were murdered by King Herod because of this threat that he faced or he felt from this newborn king. And Jesus really is God come in the flesh in order to bring light to our darkness, life to our death, hope for our hopelessness, for all who believe and trust in Him. And so, Father, I pray that we will have this story, that we will have this history ring in our ears throughout this week, that we will remember what makes this birth so special, what makes this child so significant. Because, Lord, it was Christ, God in the flesh, come down to men, to humble Himself, eventually to die on the cross for our sins, to redeem us from all iniquity, so that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Help us to remember Christmas. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.